We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey now, Semper Fi. Welcome in to this Wednesday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL. We're at Best Chevrolet. Our name says it all. Part of the Gail Benson Automotive Group. Welcome in, Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon. I'm Christian Garrick. Before we talk sports, which is, as Buddy D preached and Seth eloquently said last night, is the big healer of all communities. Seth Dunlap is on WWL because we believe in him. He's here on the gig, the big giant stage at night, because he's smart, he's talented, and he knows and loves sports. He's our teammate. Now to the tweet. An attack on Seth is an attack on all of us and the station. We love WWL, on the company that supports us, Intercom. That vile, disgusting hate tweet is being investigated. It shocked us, upset us, hurt us, as it did you. But this is an investigation, and it has to play out. Our company will see where that evidence leads, then take action. All we ask is patience, and please, as you would, as if it was you. Back to sports. Now we can get into Saints, Rams, LSU as well, coming off their big win over Texas and the air condition debacle, and that's an interesting one in and of itself. Bobby, when I think about it,
I don't know. That's gamesmanship. I don't have problems with next year when Texas comes to town and they in their locker room. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we didn't change the filters. The air condition broke. I don't know. So it'd be a little hot for Texas, and we're gonna put their band up in the nosebleeds. You know, usually you have the band close to the field because it just the pageantry of having a band, I don't care if it's Texas band, LSU's band, it's just good for football. It's good entertainment for the fans. So I don't know. We'll stick the Texas band way up there. And then somehow, mysteriously, the air conditioning does not work in the visitor's locker room.
I like it because now we're creating a genuine rivalry with Texas. I mean, think about this. It's no longer just on the field. Now we're talking about air conditions and seating and where the band's going to go and everything. I think that just enriches the rivalry that's budding between LSU and Texas. I think it's good. I love, as a fan, I'm just like, yes. I'm just eating it up.
Well this one, you'd want politics to be involved every season, or getting involved in sports or college football. I don't know. I think a home-and-home thing, LSU would embrace playing Texas every year. Think about it. If you want something good for the fans, you want to pack the house. We have these 100,000-seat stadiums, right? You want it full? Watch when Texas comes to Baton Rouge next year. I mean, you don't think it's going to be jam-packed? Same thing, Texas. I don't know. Their legislators, they should be playing Texas A&M every year. I mean, they got to figure that out. They got so much endowment money that should be forced upon the universities. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you, though, in terms of you're not required. You shouldn't be required to have air conditioning in a visiting locker room. That's part of the games.
Know, Christian, that's nitpicking. But, I mean, to this day and age, come on, for the air conditioning I'd be working, that's too much trying to gain an advantage where – you know, obviously, you're dealing with the heat. The air condition doesn't work in November, so what? It does matter in the South that the air condition in this day and age is not working early September.
I'd be fine with it. I mean, for me, it's part of it. I'm ultra petty, though. Okay.
As a player, I wouldn't. As a player, I'm like, then you want to get buck naked before you put your pads on because you're just sweating. It's like before you go on the field that, man, I didn't even play the game yet. I just lost 5 pounds because, y'all sweating in the locker room and stuff.
Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. How bad do you want revenge and a win on the Saints, or on the Rams, excuse me? When the Saints go to L.A. to face the Rams this week. Really bad, so bad I can taste it. Extremely bad. I want this game more than anything. I want to win, but I don't think it's revenge. Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call us at 504-260-1870. Text 870 870. Bobby, where would you put yourself? Is it really bad, so bad, extremely bad?
Right now, considering what has happened lately, I put the Rams in the top three. Oh, what? You don't put them number one? No, the Cowgirls will always be on the hate list. They're going to be number one. The Falcons will be number two. But I put the Rams at number three. They don't even really care about their team in Los Angeles. Now, if the Rams win a Super Bowl and they're there now for decades to come, then it might be more interest. Watch, it's going to probably be like a 50-50. Maybe not that much. It might be 60% Rams, 40% Saints. The Houdat Nation is showing up in Los Angeles. So is that really truly a home field advantage? I don't care if you're playing in the Coliseum or if you got a brand new a multi-billion dollar stadium. It doesn't matter. It's not. They still have way more Raiders fans in Los Angeles than Rams fans. Well, hadn't the Raiders left there in a while? Mm-hmm. When they go to Oakland, now they're going to go to Las Vegas. So the Rams still, just because they came from St. Louis and they were there, old school Rams fans. A lot of those old Rams fans, they've died off. They're old. When you look at the young millennials, they don't know nothing about the Rams. You got to win something. And last year, they don't want to be embarrassed. You know, when you look at Hollywood, they got embarrassed by the Patriots. Christian, they scored 3 points in the Super Bowl. Probably one of the most dull Super Bowls because people like to see points that the Rams put forth. We could have challenged the Patriots. The Rams did not.
Come on out and hang out with us here at Best Chevrolet, part of the Gail Benson Automotive Group. Sports talk continues. We got Roman Harper coming up tonight. Also, QB to QB, Saints quarterback Drew Brees at 6:45. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. I want to hear from you. Should the visiting team – at any college venue have air conditioned, or do you think it's gamesmanship to not give them air conditioned?
Well, it's good for the goose, good for the gander, you know, kind of thing. So we'll see. But, Chris, when we come back, Sean Payton made an interesting statement. I'm going to elaborate on that about, you know, all turnovers. Hey, Barry, you always talk about damn turnovers. But Sean Payton brought it up, and I'm going to tell you why he brought this up. It's going to be critical going and playing against the Rams that we on that plus side, or at least even in that turnover margin.
He's Bobby. I'm Christian. This is Sports Talk on WWL. That was Saints head coach Sean Payton about the Rams defense. Back here at Best Chevrolet, 2600 Veterans, part of the Gail Benson Automotive Group. Go ahead, Bobby.
And you think about this, Christian. He's talking about the Rams being able to take advantage, taking away the football and then scoring. You look at points off of turnovers last year. God, look at to start out the gate in 2019, we played the two best teams in the Houston Texans and the Rams. You look at points off of turnovers last season. The Rams were number one, getting 113 points, and then you had the Texans getting 111. And we all think the Bears' defense is pretty opportunistic, right? Taking away the football, and they were third with 107. So, yeah, I mean, this is amazing to start the season. It's like the playoffs already started.
Yeah.
The season just started, and
that's
we're playing.
That's what you get when you have the success the Saints had.
And we play in playoff teams, and Rams number one off points of turnover. So that's why I say we got to be even or on that plus side. If I can recall, Christian, last time we went to L.A. against the Rams, and when we lost, turnovers were involved.
Mm-hmm.
We were given the football.
I want to say
we were in the minus category.
I want to say they also had a lot of penalties in that game, more than usual in that game. And those are definitely recipes for an L. You will lose when you turn the ball over and commit that many penalties.
Well, speaking of penalties, though, Chris, before I lose my train of thought here.
They were good.
Didn't you think the officials overall
– they let them play.
Yeah. They botched the time.
And they botched – I think that roughing the kicker penalty was – a little ticky-tack.
Yeah, but they're going to do that this day and age. You can't touch the kicker and all that. But, you know, look, 15 total penalties. It seems like they called a good game overall. They didn't stop the ebb and flow of the game from a fan's perspective.
There were some times where they were huddling that slowed down the rhythm of the game.
But I'm saying they didn't throw the flag.
No, right. I'm with you.
It wasn't like 25, 30 penalties.
You know what I wanted to pick your brain on is it seems like this concussion protocol, right? I think that there might be a different protocol for quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson went after he scored that touchdown, right? He hit his head on the
turf. But it was not his head. I can tell you what it was.
It was definitely his head.
No, they were saying, I thought he said it was his back.
Oh, his back was bothering him.
His head?
Anyway, it seems like there's a different protocol for quarterbacks because normal players go right into the locker room. If there's a thought that they're concussed, and maybe they were looking at his back.
But yeah,
he hit his head, so I presumed that they were looking at his head for concussion.
Well, I was just looking how he was grabbing.
Yeah, he was constantly grabbing his back
and getting all stiff. So, listen, the bottom line from a selfish standpoint, if Drew Brees gets dinged, we don't want him going under the tent. We want him to, come on, Drew. You're going to be all right. You know, because that's from a selfish standpoint,
yeah.
Not necessarily looking at the players. But, yeah, I think at times the fans come to see the top-notch quarterback. So, obviously, they would say it's not going to be any different for a quarterback. But I think at times it'd have to be almost a quarterback laid out in the field to truly say he can't go back in the game.
Yeah. I get it. I understand why, but – phone lines are open as well at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. I want to take this moment. Saints fans, on game day, WWL has a new home for the point after. Fat Boys Pizza on Metairie Road. Watch the Saints battle the Rams, then join the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and myself Sunday at Fat Boys Pizza, home of the 30-inch pizza from around 6:30 to 9 p.m. Great place. Come on out. Who dat with the founding father of the Who Dat Nation, Bobby Hebert. And myself on Saints Radio, WWLAMFM.com.
Hey, you know, Chris, we got a little taste of it.
We did.
We always love champions. We love championships, no matter what the sport. And I guess it is a sport now. If you're the world champion eating, and Joey Chestnut, to be able to be there in that atmosphere was great. A great atmosphere at Fat Boys Pizza in Old Metairie. So looking forward to having the point after there.
Bobby, the Antonio Brown saga continues. These days, it's seemingly daily something new develops in his life.
Yeah, you know what's amazing, and you never know. Now, you know what really hurts a player and how they really get in trouble, if anything, is whether you verbally saying something and it's on tape or the visual. Somebody filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at the players that have gotten in trouble with domestic violence or whatever. But you know. The bottom line, Antonio Brown's not a good dude. I mean, I think he fakes the funk. He loves Jesus, but I think you know he'll say that. But he's just out there. Now, he comes from Liberty City down in Miami, so he's had some hard times. And his dad abandoned him as a kid. He goes to Central Michigan. He truly has a chip on his shoulder for life. And so nothing surprised me when Antonio Brown. So if he don't make it with the Patriots. He won't make it if he's innocent when this call comes about with Brittany Taylor. But I didn't realize, Christian, you know, New York Times had first reported the existence of the lawsuit that Brittany Taylor's bringing against Antonio Brown, that she's a former LSU gymnast.
Mm-hmm.
Former LSU gymnast was also a Central Michigan classmate and a former trainer of Antonio Brown. Now, look at the three incidents. Two were in June of 2017, one in May of 2018. And I guess I could say the first incident, he grabbed and kissed her without consent. The second one, I cannot say on this radio because they have kids in the car, but this was unbelievable if this did occur. So, and then the third time supposedly was forced into the bed and pushed her face to the mattress and then forcibly raped her. So there's things that came about. Now, is it a he said, she said? What kind of evidence do they have?
He is counter suing her as well.
Yeah, it could be a money grab. He's kind of saying maybe she wanted him to invest in a company or something she was doing, and he wouldn't do it. So who knows what really happened? But I think they can investigate this. Then you look at Bill Belichick with the Patriots, and. They're not overwhelmed by any of this. And what I mean by that, particularly, I'm not talking about off-the-field stuff. I'm talking about on the field, oh, he's bad for the locker room, how he would fit in here. Just look at Corey Dillon coming from the Bengals, Randy Moss coming over when he might have had troubles at the
Rodney
Vikings.
Harrison.
And,
he was a bit,
there's a handful of Ocho Cinco.
Yep.
And so the bottom line is they're going to tell this is the Patriots way, and if Antonio Brown doesn't do the right thing. You got to be at the meetings on time. He just needs a chaperone. If he's truly innocent, then just be on time. Do what the Patriots want you to do because that is a weapon that the proof's in the pudding. Just look at his numbers the last handful of years, 5-6 years, what he's accomplished. But
keep in mind, they put up 33 points the other night without him.
Without him. And so they're not putting up with him. And Tom Brady knows, Belichick, they know how he influences the defense. Saints fans know that. Last year with the Steelers, yes. What he did against our defense.
I think that the guy orchestrated his entire release.
To leave the Raiders?
Yes. He didn't want to be there. He did not want to be there. And
the Steelers did not want to let him go to trade him to the Patriots.
You're making your biggest power, you're making him even more powerful. Your biggest hurdle even more powerful by sending him there. But I think he orchestrated all that. I really do. I think that he, it was first it was the feet, then it was the helmet, and then it was the altercation with Mike Mayock. I think that he wanted out of there.
And well, he forced his way out. But now this is serious. If you look at right now, the Me Too movement and everything, this day and age, even if it looks bad, the NFL does not want to look bad. And so it'll be interesting to see what their investigation what comes about. If Antonio Brown ever plays in a Patriots uniform,
he's practiced today and yesterday. So
yep. So
clearly they have a way that they're going to manage this. This stuff is it's kind of seemingly ongoing with Antonio Brown. Phone lines are open as well at 504-260-1870. Text 87870. We are at Best Chevrolet, 2600 Veterans Boulevard, Vets, and of course it's part of the Gale Benson Automotive Group. Weigh in on our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. How bad do you want revenge on the Rams? Really bad? So bad I can taste it. Extremely bad. I want this game more than anything. Another one's I want to win, but I don't think it's revenge. Cast your vote online at WWL.com.
Well, the thing is why you want to win, because you don't know how the season's going to unfold. This game might matter whether or not that you have home field advantage. Whether you're number one seed, number two seed. Yeah.
This game is more important than even Monday
nights. Oh, without a doubt. This game, even the Seahawks, Dallas, because NFC conference game versus playing the AFC. So I think from that standpoint, the fans definitely want to beat the Rams. The players, want to beat the Rams. But I think they're professional enough to realize how significant this game could be when you're dealing with tiebreakers at the end, the playoff picture. So I think from that perspective, that's what they're looking at. And it's going to be a challenge, Christian. The Rams go all the way to the East Coast. They beat the Carolina Panthers and the NFC South. A very high-scoring game. The Rams came out on top 30-27. And I'm interested to see, because it looks like Todd Gurley is ready to roll. And the reason why I bring that up, Christian, he had 97 yards on 14 carries. He only had 8 yards rushing and 5 carries in the first half. And the reason why I bring him up is because you know who led the NFL and helping out Jared Goff and all, who led the NFL in first downs conversions?
The Rams.
Todd Gurley. Now, individual player.
Okay.
Todd Gurley had 96. Alvin Kamara had 88. DeAndre Hopkins with the Texans again had 81. So they all in the top 5. So, yeah, Todd Gurley 1, Alvin Kamara 4, Hopkins 5. Like, for instance, Michael Thomas, he had 75. He was 9th. So think about this. We had 2 players out of the top 10 that Drew could count on that, we're going to move the change, have sustained drives by those individual players committing and getting first downs. And what I'm encouraged by against that Rams defense is what Christian McCaffrey did. Well, he don't play for the Saints. Well, we got the better version of Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara. Christian McCaffrey had 209 yards from scrimmage, Christian. He had a couple of touchdowns. Well, Alvin Kamara had, 169 yards total. So that's encouraging to me. Now, the Rams probably thinking, we cannot let Alvin Kamara do to us what Christian McCaffrey did. So that'll be interesting to see the gamesmanship and the game plan. How are they trying to stop Kamara? And with somebody else, if they totally focus on Alvin Kamara, somebody else got to step up and get the job done.
Monday night, Alvin Kamara, between his 13 rushing attempts and 7 catches, 20 touches. Latavius Murray, 6 attempts on the ground, 2 receptions, 8 touches. Do you think that's the sweet spot? You think that's about what we're going to see?
Well, and I said this last night at we had the Silver Slipper, the second guest, that I would much rather, again, I take the approach that and we went back to the running that third quarter, but less if Drew is more. Listen, Drew Brees could throw 50 times. It doesn't matter. But I think it's better if he's throwing like mid-30s. So Drew threw 43 attempts. He had 370 yards, quarterback rating 106. I would rather Drew throw for 35, and instead of us having 21 rushing attempts, we averaged 7 yards a carry, 148 yards. So I'd rather, let's say, Drew throw at 35, we run for 28. You know, instead of Drew throw 43 and run for 21.
I think against other teams, other fronts, you would see that. I think that historically, if you go back and watch how the Saints typically attack Houston because of that front with J.J. Watt, who, remember, now didn't
rush their secondary was not very good. Exactly. They got burnt, so we're going to pass
it. And
they
threw for 370. I think this game plan was different than probably another opponent. They like to spread the Texans out.
Hey, Sean Payton knows this, too. Like, you remember you bringing that up, Christian, about spreading the Texans out. And Sean Payton knows this, too. You think Tom Brady and the Patriots, they might have a game where Tom Brady throws the ball 50 times. They might have another game he only throws it 28.
Mm-hmm.
It does matter. It's not like, oh, good, this is the way we're structured. We are a running team or we are a passing team. No, it matters who you play in and the mismatches and the game plan that's going to go into
what
that.
What does Bill Belichick always get lauded for? Being almost an amoeba, being able to convert week to week, change, kind of be a chameleon, you know, where you think they have an identity. They really don't. They're capable of both. I think the Saints' offense is similar. The Patriots do it on offense and defense, but I think the Saints on offense are very similar. All right, what's it going to take this week? It's going to take 25 to 28 rushing attempts, rush for 160. Okay, that's the game plan. And we're going to throw it 35 times. Okay, they're
very flexible.
Very flexible. They can morph into all kinds of different kind of approaches and attacks. This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFMN.com. Back here on Sports Talk, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. We're at 2600 Vets, Best Chevrolet, part of the Gale Benson Automotive Group. This WWL exclusive interview with LSU head football coach Ed Ogeron is brought to you by Rouse's, the official grocer of LSU Athletics. WWL.com's Jeff Palermo sat down with LSU coach Ed Ogeron.
Coach Ogeron, have you been able to catch your breath from Saturday night's thrilling game?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, obviously, we'll look at the film today, Tell the Truth Monday. A lot of good things to talk about, a lot of things to fix. Then press on and move forward.
The play of Joe Burrow has been fantastic the first two games. When you got the job here, you talked about having a dynamic quarterback. Is this what you were picturing?
No question. And we love Joe. We love what he means to our football team, the character, the integrity that he has. Phenomenal quarterback and a phenomenal young man.
The confidence that he has. Have you ever met a more confident guy than him?
No. But you know what? He reminds me of Bobby Hebert a lot. Now, he doesn't talk a lot like Bobby, but Bobby was a leader. Bobby could make the play, and Bobby had some toughness and some grit. And Joe's the same way. Joe's going to be an NFL quarterback and have a lot of success.
What amazes me when I watch, when they catch him talking either to the coaches or yourself, you value his input, right, during the course of the game. What are some of the things he's telling you?
Very smart. You know, talk about protection. Hey, coach, did this guy come? Should we slide the line this way? Hey, you know what? I missed this read right here. I should have went to the Z instead of the slot. I mean, the guy has a tremendous mind. His daddy's a football coach. He studies film all the time, and we trust what he says.
The receivers, too, have done phenomenal. Terrace Marshall obviously struggled last year, wasn't completely healthy. What did you tell him after his freshman season, or what either, whether it was you or Mickey Joseph or who?
We believe in him. I recruited Terrence, and, you know, Terrence is related to Joe Delaney, who I played with, Bob and I played with, and a great mom and dad. But Terrence wasn't completely healthy all year last year. I told him, hey, get in shape. It's his first year all season. He spent the summer with Joe. They threw together. Joe believes in him, and he is becoming the receiver that we all thought he could be.
Justin Jefferson has really come into his own. You know, you're talking about earlier about how he was about 170 pounds when he showed up from Destrehan. Now he's one of the best wide receivers in the SEC. What has led to his development?
You know, just a continual improvement all around as a young man. I think Mickey Joseph deserves a lot of credit in being close to Justin. Justin believes in LSU. Justin is a great route runner. He's smooth. He's catching the ball well, and he's a tough blocker. And nothing bothers him. He's got ice in his veins.
You've scored 100 points in the first two games, but I know as a coach you look at ways he can improve. Where do you see that improvement coming offensively?
Yeah, we're going to have to run the ball. There's going to have to be some runs. There's going to have to be some screens and some draws, better protection, multiple formations that we haven't used yet. Continue to use the pace that we need to. Continue to take care of the ball. We did not win the turnover battle. We usually win it, and we're not pleased with that.
Defensively, you guys did really well, especially in the Texas game with those two goal line stands. But then obviously in the second half, they started rolling.
Right.
What did you see? What kind of improvements do you make?
We got to get some pass rush. I mean, we didn't have a good pass rush. Didn't have a good enough pass rush plan. I got to put that on me. But we're going to get better at that. In some coverage stuff, we had some breakdowns. We had some misalignments. We had some misassignments. Just simple things. But the good thing is we won and we can fix it.
Derek Stingley was pretty solid, though, wasn't he?
He was phenomenal. That play he made on that football, I don't think they completed a ball on him. What a great player and a great young man.
Glenn Logan, Rashard Lawrence probably will not play against Northwestern State. So who could we anticipate seeing? And you're going to play a lot of guys in this game.
Yeah, you're going to see Neil Farrell play. Neil's played very well for us. He's going to start. Braden Fogles will start at the end. Tyler Shelvin at nose tackle. Upwike at nose tackle. Then you see the likes of Jarrell Cherry. He can play. Joe Evans, a young guy from Haynesville. We're going to let him play it behind Braden Fogles. So we're going to have two deep. We'll be fine.
Last year that linebacking unit was led by Devin White. But is this group as a whole better than what you had last year?
Very talented. And obviously Devin showed out, but these guys are more mature now. We have some depth. We can play four guys, maybe five guys. And we're looking forward to them having a great year.
Looks like you have another good kicker in Cade York. What is it about Coach McMahon and finding these kickers?
You know, Coach McMahon, he comes to the NFL, man. He's not looking for a five-star or a four-star. That doesn't matter to him. He just goes out, and he has a great eye for talent. He also has a great eye for character. Both of the kickers that he recruited has great talent, but they have great character, ice in their veins. I believe that Cade is going to be one phenomenal kicker for LSU.
A lot of people are patting LSU on the back, so I guess you really need to turn off that Twitter machine, huh?
Yeah, block out the noise, man, because you know what? You can't believe everything. And obviously, we want this fall school. We want this fall football team. But we got a lot of games left. We got to keep our hands up, win a fist fight every week. Northwestern State's the next one. We're going to focus on them.
You're also going to focus a lot on LSU this week. What areas do you want to see improvement?
A lot of areas on defense, pass rush, mechanics and coverage, tackling, overall scheme of some things. Some things we got to switch up to put more pressure on the quarterback. On offense, we need to get our run game going. We need to get our screen game going and just continue to improve on the things that we're doing.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot for your time. Good luck this week.
Go Tigers.
LSU Coach Ed Ogeron with WWL.com's Jeff Palermo. Bobby, you got to – he mentioned you in there, Joe Burrow, drawing favorable comparisons to you.
He mentioned Terrence Marshall. Coach O and I played, I think he said that was his cousin, Joe Delaney, the late, great Joe Delaney, rookie of the year with the Kansas City Chiefs. We're all at Northwestern together, and that's who LSU's playing. I don't know. They even have a spread. LSU might be, 56, 59-point favorite.
They have a spread. I'll look it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's
heavy favorites.
No, it's some ridiculous number. But, you know, congratulations to Coach O. I think truly he believes this, how you block out the noise, whether it's positive or negative. You only worry about what you can control, and that's game planning, coming to work every day. And if you look at that victory over Texas, that was the first true road win. When you think about it, over a top 10 non-conference opponent for the Tigers, and the fifth win over a top 10 opponent for Coach O. And now Christian has been rewarded for that, named the Dodd Trophy National Coach of the Week. So well deserved for Coach O to get that. And when you talk about Joe Burrow, really the receivers and Joe Burrow, I'm going to talk about the receivers first. And I mentioned Terrence Marshall, but look at look at Jefferson. He was one of three LSU receivers to record over 100 yards. We're glad we have one receiver over 100 yards. So LSU had three, And he had Justin Jefferson, but led the team with 9 catches, 163 yards. Look at Jamar Chase. We've heard about Jamar Chase. That doesn't surprise me. 8 catches, 147 yards. And Terrence Marshall, 6 catches of 123 yards and a touchdown. But then I look at Joe Burrow in 2 games. When have we talked about an LSU quarterback rated amongst the best?
To being in a Heisman conversation.
Whether it's Jalen Hurts, Tua, or whatever it might be, Christian, Trevor Lawrence, however you want to describe it. Now, you look at him right now, he's 4th nationally in passing, about 750 yards. He's tied for 1st in passing touchdowns at 9. His passer rating is 2nd only to Jalen Hurts, now at Oklahoma. So, Christian, if you look at it, Joe Burrow, now we talk about gaming and money on the table. Joe Burrow opened the season with 201-1 odds to win the Heisman Trophy. Now, this is according to Superbook USA. His odds have since gone to 5-1.
Yep.
Christian, that's the same odds as Jalen Hurts and Clemson's Trevor Lawrence, only behind 2 at Alabama at 3-1.
Doesn't surprise me. Super Joe Burrow. By the way, the point spread this week against
56.5.
51.5 is what I see.
Oh, okay. Well, that's in the 50s. I thought it would be in there.
We are at Best Chevrolet. Our name says it all, part of the Gail Benson Automotive Group. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk and Saints fans on game day, WWL has a new home for the point after. Fat Boys Pizza on Metairie Road. Watch the Saints battle the Rams, then join the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and myself Sunday at Fat Boys Pizza, home of the 30-inch slice from around 6:30 to 9 p.m. Great place. Come on out, Hootat, with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and myself here from the Hootat Nation and Saints Radio, WWLAMFM.com. Coming up next hour, former Saints safety Roman Harper here on WWLAMFM.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.